As long as you're not talking political correctness. Bob McCowan in Primetime Sports. Now on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Friday, January 30th, couple thousand and 15, and Primetime Sports is concluding the week, as we do always, with the round table. I am Bob McCowan. The list of participants as follows. To my left, John Shannon. To my right, holy cow, again.
Yep.
Stephen Brunt. And to my far right, that's Ken Reed. He's here all the time.
The champ.
Guys in ties. Look at this.
Impressive.
This is the most formal round table ever.
Not
one of these things doesn't look like the others.
No, I do radio. Now, we are beginning with a contest for which there will be no prize, although there is bragging rights, I suppose.
There's no championship belt attached to this contest?
None.
You sure?
Nope.
We can find one.
There's one right down there, and I'm, don't you show it.
Whose belt is that?
Whose is it? Who does that belong to?
Put your belt on your pants.
Is that the Intercontinental title?
We have a list. We have a list of proposition bets from one of the casinos for Sunday Super Bowl. So very quickly, we'll go through them, and each one of you will have the opportunity to choose to bet on each one. We'll make each bet a $10 bet, and then on Monday, we'll see who prevailed. Who won?
Who's going to be here Monday?
I'll be here Monday.
I won't.
Me either.
No, no, neither will I.
Too bad for you.
It's going to be hard for us to collect from you.
There's nothing to collect. Personal pride. Next time you come,
so
I'll mention it.
$10 in Monopoly money.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Just to keep track.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Over.
How long will it take Idina Menzel to sing the U.S. national anthem? Over or under 2 minutes and 1 second?
Oh, under.
John Shannon.
Under, Bob.
John goes under. Yes. Ken.
Over. It will be 2 minutes and 22 seconds.
Steven.
I think it'll be under. They do regulate these things now. They
90
don't,
seconds.
They don't let them to freelance, let them freelance anymore. They pre-record them too, don't they?
Most of them are lip-synced.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah.
So the
what about the halftime show?
Oh, there's that.
Part of that will be lip-synced too.
No. Katie?
You won't even. No,
it won't matter.
No, you won't even.
Won't matter.
Care.
First name basis.
I'll just be.
How will you be?
Another Idina Menzel. Am I pronouncing her name right?
Yes.
Does anybody know who this is?
Yeah. Unlike John Travolta.
I was going to say, we should get Travolta.
Yeah.
Oh, that one. Will she forget or omit at least one word of the official U.S. national anthem? Yes is plus 400. No is minus 600.
Well, for the same reason as before.
Wait a sec. John goes first all the time. Yes or no?
It's since I assume she will be synced, I think she'll get the words right. So that's no.
No to you.
Yeah.
No.
I bet heavily on that one, too.
Ken?
No.
No. Brett? No.
No.
Everybody says no.
Maybe that's what I'll bet on.
The fix is in. How many times will deflated balls be referred to during the game? Over or under 2.5 times? John?
Over.
Over 2.5. Kenny?
Over.
Steven?
Yeah, I think so. Although they won't encourage it, will they?
No, but they won't. It's 2.5 times. Think about it.
That's not a
We've
lot.
We've used deflated balls 3 times already in the question.
Yep, okay. Yeah, so it's yes. 3 mentions in the game, yeah.
3 overs. I'd say under, but I'm not participating.
No, we're talking in the game as opposed to the pregame.
During the game.
Okay.
Will Marshawn Lynch be fined by the NFL for any incident on media day? Yes is plus 400. No is minus 600. Did wear that funny hat.
The beast mode hat.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. John, yes or no? Will he be fined?
I'm going to say no for a mitigating reason. I'll explain it later.
Okay.
Ken?
Yes, because of the chapeau.
Steve?
Yes, that.
Will Marshawn Lynch grab his crotch after scoring a touchdown in the game? minus 600 for no, plus 400 for yes. In other words, you get 4-1 if you bet, if you say yes.
Yeah, no, because of the 15-yard penalty that the Seahawks, his teammates, would be punished.
Ah, Kenny.
No, he'll come up with something new.
Steve.
Yes, I think you will.
Ooh,
15 yards doesn't mean any other kickoff.
Which coach will be mentioned first by name on TV after the kickoff? Which coach will be mentioned first by name on television after the kickoff? Carroll or Belichick?
Oh, I had another coach. Belichick.
Belichick. Kenny?
Belichick.
Mm-hmm. Steve?
Yeah, you're in agreement there.
All right. You guys are all going in the same
side. I was
going
to say Lombardi, but...
Which coach will be shown first on TV after the kickoff? Carroll or Belichick? John?
He's going to be mentioned, so he's going to be seen.
Belichick?
Yeah.
Ken?
Agree, same reason.
I guess. I was kind of wondering if somebody...
Who's going to win the toss?
Yeah, who's going to win the toss? Who's going to have the ball?
Yeah.
That, which,
well, you can't predict that anyway.
No, but that's probably who's going to get shown for it. But also, okay, say Belichick.
You go Belichick.
Yeah.
All right. Multiple choice. Which color will Bill Belichick's hoodie be?
It's easy.
1-2 on gray, 7-4 on blue, and 7-1 on red. John.
1-2 on gray.
Gray.
Got to go gray.
Ken goes gray.
I'll go blue just to
Steve goes
change
blue.
It up here.
Okay. Bill Belichick's hoodie type, will it be sleeves cut or sleeves intact? John.
With the beautiful weather in Arizona, with the fact that as if it's raining, they're going to cover it, they're going to be cut sleeves.
Cut. Kenny.
Long sleeves. It's hip.
Sleeves intact.
And you know, he's a slave to fashion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm with the long sleeves, too. Could be cool in Arizona in the evening this time of year.
Not really.
Oh, yeah.
Will Bill Belichick smile during the game on camera? 2-1 on no. John, yes or no? Will he smile during the game?
Well, that's a tough one, because if they win, it would be after the game.
Correct.
Well, unless they're winning big and they dump the Gatorade on him while the game's still going on.
No, he will not.
Not smile. No smile. Kenny?
Nope.
No smile. Brunt?
I'm going to hedge on them winning. So I will say yes.
Okay. How many times will Katy Perry be mentioned in the first half? In my house, lots. Over, under 1.5.
Does this include commercials?
No.
But by the announcers?
During the game, the first half.
Promos and stuff?
Over and under, what's the number?
1.5.
Oh. Over.
Ken.
Beyond over.
Yes.
Yeah, I would go way over.
Hmm.
50. How many times?
No, we're not just talking about your house again.
Oh, right. How many times will Gisele Bündchen be shown on TV? Over, under 1.5. John.
Under.
Ken.
Over.
Over. Steve.
Under. I think because she doesn't make herself.
No.
Although, what was the, that was when she, who was it she went after? It was Welker, right? The post-Super Bowl.
That's right.
Drop, right?
But, yeah. But that was.
But that was in an elevator, right? That was
after the game.
That was way.
Yeah, I don't think she needs the
last
first
week. Last week was the first time, I mean, she actually sent out a tweet. Before the AFC Championship with their three kids with their jerseys on at the breakfast table saying we're getting ready for the game. And that shocked me that she would be that public. So,
will Al Michaels, the play-by-play announcer, refer to the point spread, total, odds on who wins the game, or any proposition bet at any time during the broadcast? Yes or no? The no is -3-1. John, yes or no?
Yes.
He will refer to it.
He will refer to
points bet,
a prop,
total,
a points bet. He will. Okay. Yeah, that's one.
Okay, Kenny?
Shanny, got to agree with you again, buddy.
Yes.
See, I don't think Steve, he will. I don't think he will. Because the spread is what? What are we looking
one
at?
Right?
One.
Yeah, so it's not going to be either way. It's not going to be there's no dramatic upset.
No, but he might say there's not much of a spread today.
Expect a tight game. You know?
I don't know. I don't think. I say no.
All right. We could have issues with that one. Like, what if he just says point spread? Point spread is close. Is that actually referring to it? Yeah,
yes,
I guess it is.
Yes, it is. Come on. These are black or white.
If he says it's a pick 'em game, yeah.
Yeah.
Who will be shown more on TV during the game? Robert Kraft or Paul Allen?
Oh, without a doubt.
Kraft is 2-1 favorite, by the way.
Yeah.
You're going Kraft?
Kraft.
Okay. Kenny?
Kraft.
Yeah.
Kraft.
Yeah.
We got a lot of Krafts there. All right. Got to pay attention to this one now. What color will the Gatorade or liquid be that is dumped on the head coach of the Super Bowl winning team? Here are the odds. 3-2 on orange, 5-2 on yellow, 3-1 on either it's clear or water, 15-2 on red, 15-2 on blue, and 10-1 on green. Orange, yellow, clear, red, blue, or green. John.
Blue.
Ooh, went for a long shot. Ken.
Initially thinking orange, but I'm going to go clear.
Yeah.
Steve.
Well, that leaves me, I think yellow at 5-2 is a good bet.
Yellow. Okay, we got three different ones. And the last.
Because that Brent is so intelligent about how Gatorade
that's
is.
That's right. I was just thinking. I kind of think, what was the last one? It was green was the outlier there, right? And there's lots of green Gatorade around.
Sure there is.
But I guess they don't do it.
But Seahawk blue, they win.
You can go green if you want. It's 10-1.
10-1. Oh, yeah. Give me the green on 10-1.
All right. It goes from yellow to green.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. Complementary colors, too.
What if they pour yellow and blue at the same time?
Aha.
And green wins.
That's it.
Get your money back. Now, the last and final one. Which will be higher? Russell Wilson's passing yards or the U.S. national average gas price in cents on Monday, February 2nd, the day after the Super Bowl? Now, the average gas price, I think, is around $1.80 or something like that in the U.S. I may be a little off on that, but it came up in conversation the other day, and somebody said the price was like $1.79 or something. So let's say it's in around the 180 mark, just for reference. Wilson is minus 15.5, by the way, on that. So he'd have to be more than 16 passing yards over that number. So, who do you like, John?
I like Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's going to be 250-plus yards.
Wow.
So he's got to be around, what, 196 and over?
I'm guessing, yeah.
Yeah, he can do that, over.
Wilson.
No, take the gas.
Brent's going under.
Yeah, absolutely.
He goes with gas.
Yep.
Always stick with the gas,
Steve. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So Monday we'll give you the results. People, the list is here.
Well, you never gave us any of yours.
Well, all of mine are right. That'd be no fun if you had to compete against me. I'm a former Las Vegan.
Yeah.
I know how to do this.
Yeah.
Stay at home. Bet the fridge to score the touchdown. The only prop bet I ever made, and I won it. It's 17-1.
Really? Wow.
And yep. Walter Payton never forgave Mike Ditka. Forgave him.
I never bet on football, and it was a Sunday morning of the Super Bowl, and I went into the sports book to bet a basketball game. And for whatever reason, I stood there and I looked at the prop bets. And I thought, well, we're having a little Super Bowl dig today. I'll buy two tickets and I'll share them with my significant other. And so I bought, this was New England against the Bears, 1986 season or 86, mm-hmm.
86
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, yeah.
And so I took the game under for $10 and I took the fridge at 17-1 to score a touchdown. The game was over at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
The point spread was over by, I think, halftime.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was.
So I lost that one. But then the fridge gets the touchdown.
Were you there, Steven?
Yep. That's the first one I did, 86. Yeah, yeah, that was I thought they were all going to be like that. Not the blowout, but it was. There was all kinds of great stuff that year, right?
Well, that was the great schism between Buddy Ryan and Mike Ditka.
Ryan and Mike Ditka. You had the Jim McMahon headband thing. Yeah. You had the Super Bowl shuffle. You had a story that week alleging that seven NFL quarterbacks were on performance-enhancing drugs, unnamed, never disappeared the story completely.
Yeah. Oh, that had to be false.
You had Raymond Barry coaching the other team, I recall. Was it Raymond Barry? I think it was.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And Tony Eason.
Starting quarterback.
And being terrified like three plays in, and the game was over, essentially three plays in. It was over. But, I thought that was what every Super Bowl did.
For that game, I was in Chicago. And we were there in the middle of the hockey season, and so we got a big suite and brought everybody from our production crew to watch the game, and we could see right down Michigan Avenue. There wasn't a soul on Michigan Avenue. Yeah. It was a ghost town. It was phenomenal.
It was one of the worst Super Bowls ever.
And then by 10 o'clock at night, you could not see the street on Michigan Avenue.
Terrible game, great story.
Yes.
That's kind of what it was.
Yeah.
Let's get to some issues, considering that was an issue that was this fun. Well, let's start with the beloved Toronto Maple Leafs, who have now lost 8 games in a row. Their new coach has won 1. I think we established yesterday, Kenny, that a coach had been, an interim coach had been replaced.
Ottawa Senators 95-96, I think they said. The two coaches fired in the same season. We put that question out there.
Lou Lamoriello, he must have done it at some point, didn't he?
You would think, but apparently
really? Because if anyone would do it, he would do it.
Who would that have been with the Sens? Rick Bowness, probably, and...
Oh, gosh.
I don't know the other
Do you remember the names, guys?
Dave Allison?
Dave Allison. Sounds like it could be right. Yeah.
That might be the Dave Allison year. So early 90s. Mm-hmm. I think they were still playing.
Very early days
at the Civic. At the Civic Center. Yeah.
Rick Bowness and Dave Allison are the correct answers.
Good work, Shanny. Good tag team job.
There you go.
Well, should the Leafs be considering this?
Oh, not now!
Don't they want to lose them all now?
I think we're talking about they're on the Billboard top 30.
Do you think the coach matters? Is this coach actually bad enough that they might get a high draft choice?
He didn't give up a goal from the other team's blue line, did he? Like that's not coaching.
Nope.
No.
The Leafs did the Gerber thing a few years ago that cost them. Let it go. Get hands off. Play the rest of the 31 games. Players aren't going to try to lose, but the collection of them together just may not be good enough to win.
Peter was put in a really tough spot. Oh, yeah. I mean, my goodness gracious.
John, did you say there was a report today that Nonis was scouting in Manchester, though, which is not... Now, that's if that's true, that's interesting, isn't
well,
it?
I suspect there'll be tons of...
Who are they
of
the farm team of?
They are Los Angeles Kings. And tonight is Mike Richards' first game.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Dave Nonis does live in New Hampshire.
So he might have just gone for fun?
So he might have just gone to the game on the way home. So from that perspective, any time now that anybody goes to Manchester to watch Mike Richards play, it's going to be headline news somewhere.
Is there any way that can make sense? Like, I know, again, it doesn't.
For Toronto?
Yeah.
For anyone.
Well, just to, the trading of the contracts, right? But and L.A. would have to swallow still a big hunk of Mike Richards for that to make any sense, wouldn't it?
Like how much they can take back is really a difficult question to answer.
It really is.
But at the same time, there are so many other things when you consider this is one of those contracts the league will penalize any of the teams who have had it, other than the Flyers, by the way,
if he retires
early.
Yeah.
And they get punished. It is just it's an untenable situation. Dean Lombardi made a huge gaffe not buying him out with his last compliance buyout last June. End of story.
How much, what is it, the Kings can eat 50% of the value in a trade? It's pretty complicated, though.
I'm not even sure of that. I mean, I don't have
Well, there's
CBA
residual cap issues, too, that I read.
Yeah.
You know, on this for anybody, especially if he doesn't finish his career.
That's the cap recapture.
Yeah, if he goes out on a long-term injury, you're fine. But if he retires before, that was that thing they put in about to kill the back-ended contracts.
Correct. Right.
So, yeah, if he retires, you're screwed, essentially. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a conversation, right? Yeah. Whether, and I don't see how it could, like Mike Richards could play for the Leafs. He wouldn't be, he might be there. First line center right now if he was playing for the Leafs.
I just don't think so. I think
I don't see how we'd get you.
He's good. What's the number? 17% body fat. He promised the Kings in the summertime he would be in better shape and be much more competitive, and he's not. And so at what point do you say, hold on now? I mean, they trusted him. He betrayed them. Life goes on.
I'll tell you where he ends. He's going to be back with the Kings for the playoffs. That's where he'll be. He might be a part of a great playoff run with them.
Well, just remember, after the trade deadline, the rosters expand.
Mm-hmm.
So you can bring him back as soon as March 2nd if you
got cap space.
If you got cap. Well, they're paying him, Bob. He's already
that.
On. He's staying
what
on
they
the cap.
What do they save? $925 by sending him down to the American
League? $925,000.
Yeah. And here's my question. If you are going to scout him in Manchester, what are you learning by watching him in the American League? You hoping the 17% body fat went to 16 overnight? Like, I mean, what are you going to learn about him?
That's why I'm kind of downplaying the Nonis story.
You're probably going to watch him sulk is what you're going to watch.
Well, that's the other thing is, how many Kings management people are there to make sure does he stay on the rails?
Yeah, it's a rare guy that goes down to the A in that situation and says, let's go. I'm thrilled to be here. I'm going to try and win. Let's win one for Manchester.
We're going to have to think of one.
Exactly.
Now, next year it would be different because he wouldn't even have to leave his house because their farm team is moving to Ontario, California.
Pacific Division. I was going to say, that's a good place to get sent next year, the Pacific Division.
I'm trying to get
American
a play-by-play job there.
Yeah. The Ontario Reign?
Yes.
He's what, 28 now? I think.
No, 28, he's 29.
Whatever, he's around
yeah,
that.
Yeah, okay.
We're not going to nitpick for a couple of months. 29. So, he does. In my mind, he doesn't fit where the Maple Leafs have to go, regardless of what kind of player he is. And I don't want any more 29-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 31-year-olds, like the old days where they used to, you know, get guys as free agents, you know, at the end of their careers. And this may be the end of Richard's career. But is there another team out there where you could see Richards going and being a contributor? Who else might be interested?
The only reason it would make sense for the Leafs is, again, it's not a hockey deal, but it's a get-unload-the-Fanouf contract deal, right? That's the only place where it makes any sense. That's why people are talking about it, that they could get some value back, get a guy who could play for them, and unload Dion's contract and maybe not have to pay, have the Kings eat a chunk of Richards' deal.
Well, so. I guess that makes some sense if you're absolutely convinced that you can't get anything in terms of futures for Dion Phaneuf. Yeah. Like, you can't get a draft choice.
Still need someone to play Phaneuf's minutes, too.
Yes.
What team out there has cap space, is going to go on a long playoff run, and thinks, you know, a veteran guy like him could really help, and you're willing to eat that money for the next 5 or 6 years after this season?
With a cap that's going to be flat next year, basically, right?
Yeah, because of the Canadian dollar. You're going to eat $5.75 million for what, 6 more years? You're going to have to be pretty committed to the cause.
But you hit a key thing there, Stephen. Why, when you don't know what the cap is going to be, when the dollar's as precarious as it is, why would you ever commit that type of money, over $5 million a year, now?
Oh, I wouldn't.
No.
I wouldn't want to pay for it.
So the answer, Bob, is no one should be interested.
Right.
No one should look at this guy. Because in the summertime, with the cap the way it is, with all these new long-term contracts guys have signed, like when you look at Taves and Kane have signed almost for $20 million of the Blackhawks cap, there are going to have to be quality players available this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can work 10% over the cap. It makes no sense for anyone to go and acquire a long-term deal now. It makes none.
Yep.
So if anybody does, there's either a nut bar owner sitting there saying, I love this guy, go get him. Under any circumstance, go get him. Or someone absolutely, totally desperate to save his job, and this is the last roll of the dice, and he doesn't really care about the cap, because if they don't get to the third round, he's fired.
It's like cheating on a diet. Just wait. All you got to do is wait till March 2nd. Don't go near it. And then when March 2nd comes and you didn't make a move for Richard, you're going to say, oh man, thank God. Thank God I didn't do that.
Exactly.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It makes no sense.
Yep.
And again, that's why you rewind it and say, Dean, you trusted the player. You made a mistake.
Well, plus everybody was assuming the cap was going to continue to, you know, that would have been the assumption, John, that there was going to be wiggle room, right? And if we make a mistake, well, you know, we have to pay for it. But like, this could be a great summer for vultures. I'm just not sure how many teams are going to be in a position to do that.
Well, but I think there are people, and I have talked to a few people in cities that actually have thought this process out, saying, guys, this is not the time to be aggressive. This is the time to lay back, wait in the weeds, and find the proper player for our system for the right dollar. By the way, the cap could drop.
Yes.
Yeah.
If the players don't invoke the escalator, it could actually go to $68 million, 68.5. I don't think they will, but it could drop.
Well, if the dollar goes to 70 cents, which some say it may, it could go way down there.
As a result of all this, it clearly makes it more difficult for the Toronto Maple Leafs if they are inclined to trade one of their high-end assets.
Yep,
indeed.
Before the offseason.
Indeed.
And may even make it tougher for them during the offseason, because then there will be significant competition potentially.
Significant competition of other players.
Being available.
Yeah, there's going to be, and this is all subjective, but there's going to be window the last week in June, which now has, you can go out and bid for free agents and talk to them. The draft, a very deep draft. And then free agency on July 1st. There is that window that somebody may be able to parlay something, either do a three-way deal with someone to say, hey, listen, but that's really, to me, that's the window for the Maple Leafs.
And that's what I see too, Shanny, is the three-way deal. This isn't just going to be two teams swapping. If Toronto really wants to unload some stuff, they're going to have to work with a couple of teams and think of something really funky and get really, really, really creative in the offseason.
Let's say the Maple Leafs wind up with a sixth pick in the draft.
Okay.
Okay? And that, I don't think, is out of the question.
Nope.
I mean, that's quite possible.
And there's great players at six this year.
Well, what if they want to move up to get one of the top two? What are the chances if the two teams are Buffalo and Edmonton? I'm guessing Buffalo isn't trading their pick for a Phil Kessel. Would Edmonton?
Not a chance.
No way, huh?
Not a chance. Not with those two young players. Not with Jack Eichel or Connor McDavid available. There is no way those two picks will be moved this year.
Okay.
Not to Toronto anyway.
Not to anywhere. I mean, you're committing career suicide by trading those one of
you
those
don't
two picks.
Well, Edmonton would have to entertain that given that they've been down this road so
yeah,
many times.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Here's the deal that I'm constructing here, theoretically. Let's say Edmonton gets number two. The Leafs move up to number two. Edmonton gets Kessel plus the Leafs number six.
Well, I guess you have to decide whether these are generational players, right? And I believe that's still the consensus, right?
That's right.
If they're
if they are, and most people believe they are, at least for McDavid.
Yeah.
But Bob, but what basis would you think that Phil Kessel could create that value? Is it his great playoff record?
I have no idea.
And here's the problem.
I said earlier, John, if you look at it, I mean, we understand that the deal that was constructed by Brian Burke to get Phil Kessel was for a first-round draft choice, but we did not know that the Toronto Maple Leafs were going to be the second-worst team in the NHL, and that pick was going to be that high.
That's the risk you took.
If right. Brian thought that pick was going to be 22nd, 23rd,
right?
Maybe worse. Mm-hmm. Boston, likewise, estimated that pick was not going to be number two. So Boston didn't put a value of that high on Phil Kessel, and Burke didn't think he was going to pay that high a value for him.
I understand your logic. The fact that they gave up more than one pick too. I mean, let's remember they gave up Dougie Hamilton too. The Bruins, and I know that Tyler Seguin is not in Boston anymore, but they did win a Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Seguin's a pretty good hockey player.
If I'm the Edmonton Oilers, here's why I would not do that deal. Because if you pick up Phil Kessel from Toronto, guess what he is in Edmonton? He's just Phil Kessel again. Phil Kessel needs something around him. And no offense to Taylor Hall, Jordan Eberle, but they're not the guys to surround Phil Kessel with. Yeah. He has to be surrounded with some meat, with some players. And he can't be your number one dude. You have to have him with some guys who can play.
I understand. I'm just surmising here. We'll take the break. When we come back, the Raptors have won four in a row, unlike their counterparts, the Toronto Maple Leafs, who've lost eight in a row. And Tiger Woods with the worst competitive professional round of his life. Eek! Is it over? This is Primetime on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks.
It's the only time you have control of Bob McCowan. Let's go! Subscribe to Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Twenty-four before the hour. Roundtable continues. McCowan, Brunt, Shannon Reed. Toronto Raptors have quietly won four in a row, and I say quietly because this little toe stub that happened for several weeks there when DeMar DeRozan was out, where the Raptors lost, I don't know what it was, 7 of 8 or something like that, seemed to take a little of the wind out of the sails. Not that the Toronto Maple Leafs were getting the attention. Nobody was. I wonder how do they go back on the radar on a wider screen, Ken, or are they limited to the basketball fan at this time of year?
Come playoff time, they go back on the radar because the Leafs won't be in the playoffs. But right now, the big story in Toronto is look at how horrible the Leafs are. And sorry, basketball people, but the Leafs are the number one show in town. And, yeah, the basketball, it'll get hip again. And I don't mean to say hip again like it's a bandwagon thing. But come the playoffs and the Raptors are in the playoffs, it'll be wild again. But right now the story is this, again, monumental collapse by the Leafs.
But it is a bandwagon thing.
Oh, I don't know about that. Like, everything's a bandwagon thing then, right? Like, that's, you know, more people watch. The Super Bowl is a bandwagon thing then, right?
Oh,
more,
yeah.
But you know, but that's kind of discounts what's though. Out there basketball wise, and I think that's there's you know that's it's real.
I don't mean to disrespect the fan base. It's just not as big as the Leafs fan base.
But their relevance over the period of time with DeRozan out, even the inches of copy that were in papers about the basketball team, there was a level. I mean, I think it dropped. I do.
I think for sure it dropped.
Well, you know, and it was that. Well, you know, the hype of that. The start of the season was so impressive. It was so much fun. It was the inertia of the first round of the playoffs last year. And then, maybe they aren't that good, and maybe I'll just go back to my regular life. Well, that's why I consider it a bit of a bandwagon.
When you clinch your division before they start playing holiday music, you know, a little bit of the drama goes out. And then, yeah, you realize, well, they're a good team, but maybe they're not the best in the East. And, you know, you lose a little bit of that buzz.
Well, look at even I'm a basketball fan. I mean, I started to wonder whether they might be the best team in the East. And there were moments in those first few weeks.
You don't think they
where
are,
they were. Well, I don't now. Okay. I mean, clearly not. But two things happen. DeRozan gets hurt. They kind of fall off the wagon a little bit. And Atlanta goes berserk and blows right past them. And nobody's catching Atlanta in the East.
No. No, and now Cleveland's awakened, too.
Mm-hmm. And Washington is a pretty good basketball team, too. The only team that really has shocked a lot of people is that the Bulls have got their own issues, right?
But the Raptors are back to beating the teams they should beat, you know, which is kind of what they stopped doing there for a little while. Like there's teams that they're not going to beat, but they're back to beating. You know, there's a lot of teams in the league worse than them, and if they beat them 4 out of every 5, mm-hmm. then they're going to be, you know, they're going to be, they're going to be a top 3 seed in the East, right? Yeah. That's we kind of know that already. It's just a question of who they're going to get.
And plus, you know, it's like the weekend. You can't party on Wednesday if you're going out Friday. And Raptors fans know Friday night's coming up. They've got the playoffs. People are going to go wild. It's going to be the same scene as last year, maybe even bigger. And they'll be on the front pages again. Just not right now.
Well, they better not finish fourth. I can tell you that right now. You better try and get second or third.
Because mm-hmm.
you do not want to play whoever's in fifth. And right now, it could be, if you assume the Raptors are going to win the division, if they finish fourth, they could get Cleveland.
They could get Cleveland, yeah. I'd rather play Atlanta than Cleveland.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, geez, boy, Atlanta.
Atlanta's humming, but Cleveland's got that guy, you know, who's been there, done that. And on the big
now
stage,
they're winning even when he's not playing.
Yeah, and when that
Kyrie
guy gets
scores
on the big
55
stage,
the other.
Yeah, 55, yeah. And when LeBron gets on that stage, I wouldn't want to play him.
Yeah, well, good luck getting a pass from Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
Next game.
We're back to that again?
Oh, for sure. He is what he is. I mean,
winning solves everything, though, Bob. Winning solves everything. Now they're bosom buddies again. Life is good.
Yeah, well, I don't dispute that. And Chicago is having its hiccups, but I think they're a pretty sound basketball team, too.
I tell you what, everything out of Chicago is that Tom Thibodeau is in a bit of trouble. I mean, and now is there a rift between he and the general manager? Of course, they expected that team to be world beaters, right? There was an expectation with Rose back at 100%.
The bar was set pretty high in Chicago, and understandably. I mean, I think most people thought Chicago or Cleveland are going to win the East. Nobody talked about Atlanta. Washington was on the fringe but not ready. Toronto on the fringe but not ready. It was Chicago and Cleveland. That's who it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland's playing better. The panic is off there. Chicago, all of a sudden, they have that panic. Do they straighten it out before the end of the season? Lots of time for them to do that. Tiger Woods was intermittently brutal or great yesterday in his first round of the season in Phoenix. Today, he was just brutal. 11 over par, 82, the worst round of his competitive professional career. Now, apparently he will play next week at a place where he's won like 8 times.
Is that Torrey Pines?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So he's not taking any time to kind of figure this thing out. It's one round. It's 2 days. I think, what, he shoot 73 when he was finished yesterday, which, mm-hmm. you know, he made a comeback on the back nine. Not the end of the world. But Tiger Woods is now getting to that age where it, you know, many, many great players, including Jack Nicklaus, started to back off a little bit. Arnold Palmer backed off before that age. And the you know, these are the guys from my generation that I can remember that, you know, you talk about in the context of a Tiger Woods. All the injuries, the swing changes, the social drama that he's gone through, the marital problems, all of this stuff has to take a toll. Is it over for Tiger?
Yeah, the difference between him and those guys, Bob, and again, I'm not sure if it's a positive or a negative at this point, is how much time he spent building up his body. Right. Those guys, like, you know, they didn't do that, right? They weren't lifting weights. They weren't working with strength and conditioning guys. They didn't do that. You know, his body was, you know, he had a different kind of athletic body. You know, Jack Nicklaus didn't have an athletic body at all to look at him.
No, he lost a lot of weight. Remember,
he was really soft as a kid, right? And then, and
Jack was pretty pudgy when
first 5 years as a pro, he was
fat.
You didn't know if he wore a belt or not.
But, you know, you're talking about a guy, you know, one of the first guy we talk about that on that level who actually, you know, made a science of building his body, right? And then his body broke down and has broken down.
Well,
and
did it break
ways.
Down because of that?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. That's what I'm wondering.
Yes, it did. I mean, if you watch him now, we on Sportsnet Central this week, we started our coverage of the Waste Management Open by showing Tiger's hole in one from 1997 on 16, and he just I did a double take when I looked at it. He just had this nice, smooth golf swing, and now when you watch him, it's just violent, and it got really violent over the years, and that's what killed his left knee, that's what killed his back. And you're right, Steven. He's breaking down. And, I mean, look at his short game today. He just got no touch because you know why? He's got to play. He hasn't played a lot of competitive golf. He played 7 rounds on the PGA Tour last year. He hasn't played since August 2014. The guy's got to play. Will he ever be Tiger again? No. But I can see a 1986 Masters Jack Nicklaus moment for him. He'll win again. He'll never dominate again. But you're right, Steven. This guy was built like a linebacker there for a while, and his body just broke down.
So Tiger Woods was the greatest scrambling golfer. He and Seve Ballesteros, right, Bob? Pretty close?
Yeah, I think there's a few others, but okay, I put him in that category. Okay.
Tiger had a Seve-esque shot there yesterday.
Well, but
shot.
Tiger could, you know, try to bomb the drive off the tee.
He's a terrible driver.
And then but he could get himself out of trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he could putt. His putting has become disastrous. Disaster.
Well, and that's the end of the game. I mean, we've had seen guys retire because they can't get it in the hole
exactly.
anymore. I mean, I should have quit 30 years ago because I can't get it in the hole anymore.
You still got some magic, Bob. Come on.
Tee to green, I'm happy with my game. On the green, disaster.
Yeah, and I, you know, I agree with both of you because I do think with the viciousness of his swing, I think he's flinching and I think he's afraid of pain. I truly think he's afraid of pain.
Why doesn't he? With all these swing changes in the year, why doesn't he go back to what he was when he was younger? Can he not swing like that anymore? Because to me, that looks a lot easier on your body, just this nice, smooth little swing, whereas now it just looks like he's just damaging himself every time he takes. I wouldn't even call it a swing anymore. I'd call it a cut. Like he's just coming down on the ball so hard with his irons.
When Tiger was making his real mark, remember, he was hitting the ball how much farther than anybody else. Mm-hmm. Now everybody's caught up to him. Mm-hmm. And so if he changes back, question, how much velocity is off the club head and how much distance is he going to lose?
But do you need that distance, Bob? Yeah. You don't have to be bombing it off the tee every time.
On that tour, you do.
But here's the...
Yeah, what do you think? Because
let me give you the
most pure golf guy here. What do you think?
Here's the argument. Tiger Woods has won United States Opens major championships barely hitting his driver. In the early days, Tiger Woods would take out a 2-iron or even a 1-iron. I don't know whether he used a 1, but I know he used a 2-iron. And just bunt it down there 290. You know. When you have that ability, and generally hit it in the middle of the fairway. When you have that skill, and when you are as terrible a driver of the golf ball as he is, for reasons that are completely inexplicable to me. Because the whole golf swing is based upon a repetitive motion. Do it over and over and over again, and the ball just gets in the way of the club face. If you can hit great iron shots, and we know he can hit
great iron shots. Or he used to be able to.
Bob. He had a beauty yesterday.
He can still hit. His iron game is fine. I mean, his distance comes and goes, but when he was a kid, his problem was distance. Mm-hmm. He couldn't control the distance consistently, and he still won by a large margin. I have no idea. I mean, if I was coaching him, and I don't know whether Heaney or any of the other people.
Or Sean Foley.
Or Sean Foley have ever said, Tiger, screw the driver. You can't hit it. You're losing by hitting the driver in terrible places.
Mm-hmm.
Hit two irons off the tee. Hit three woods off the tee. He hits the three wood pretty well off the tee. He can't hit the driver off the tee. He hits the three wood over 300 yards. He can hit a two iron, probably 290. He doesn't need to hit driver.
No.
And especially at this point in his life, he certainly doesn't need to hit driver. I think it's an ego thing with him. But I don't know. I just don't understand why a guy with the skill set that he has with shorter clubs and a dramatic difference in how he hits the driver continues to hit that club.
And here's the other thing, though. If you watch some highlights from his round today, the skill set with the short irons, it wasn't there. I mean, he just lost his touch around the green today. It was just non-existent. He looked like my dad out there with his little flop shot going 2 feet in front of him.
Yeah, but you know that comes and goes.
He blew up.
Today. Yeah, that comes and goes. I don't think he's done. I don't think he's going to shoot 82 the rest of his life. I don't think he's going to retire in 6 months. But he's never going to be anywhere near what he was unless he makes a fundamental change, and that is put the driver away and be a different kind of guy.
That's not going to help his putting, Bob.
Well, the putting is good. I saw him last year. I mean, 2 years ago he won 5 events?
Yeah.
So, he can still do it. I mean, it comes and goes, for a guy at that level. Now, if
that's
it's gone,
the problem, Bob. That's the problem. Coming and going,
If it's gone.
Yeah.
And I don't believe it is yet. Haven't seen enough evidence to support that. I just think this is rust and a bad week. But if it's gone, it's over.
Why the violent swing, though, Bob? Why the violent swing with his irons?
Well, what he's done is, through coaching, and I think mostly through Sean, but a little bit with Haney, his previous coach. Both guys reconstructed his swing, as has been done repeatedly, and for reasons that are inexplicable to me, to tell you the honest to goodness truth. And what they've done is Tiger feels more comfortable in getting the club in a certain position on his downswing that is very steep from the top down. And in doing that, what actually happens to Tiger is his head drops about a foot. Now, that's a lot. Because if you talk to any coach, the first thing they'll tell you
is... Keep your head steady,
right? Now, it does go up and down a little bit because of the nature of the swing. And for Tiger's head, it doesn't move left to right. It only moves up and down. But it moves dramatically up and down. And more than any other player I've seen. I don't think that's natural. That's created. If that was something that eked into his game over time, it would have been corrected. It's to be the first thing a coach would have said, whoa, your head's dropping.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep your head at a more even plane. So this is by design. And I'm not sure why.
I'm not there.
I'm not there with Tiger on the range. I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know what they're working on. But if you watch Tiger swing now, boy, it's dramatic how much his head drops.
I'd love to see him just go out and play around.
But you can't do that.
Just go up and swing at the ball. You don't have to whack.
I got news for you. Your swing doesn't look the same from year to year. Mine doesn't. Nobody's swing really looks exactly the same from year to year. Now, he's made dramatic changes in it.
Oh, his has evolved.
But
or devolved.
Yeah, but how much of it is because of the injuries?
Yeah, exactly.
Putting torque on that left knee, the back issues that he's had. I mean, have they worked around the injuries to create a swing that could compensate for the pain that he's going through? I don't know the answer to that. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. But right now, it ain't good for TW. Blue Jays, Super Bowl, another hour to go. The roundtable continues. This is Primetime on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks.